I will drink until next morning.
Number two of the Blitz is live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting live on the radio at 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, broadcasting live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. As always, the podcast is uploaded just moments after the show goes off the air in case you missed anything. You can go ahead and check out the Fan Run Radio app, which is available on both Google and Apple app stores, as well as fanrunradio.com to continue keeping up with the show, with the station, with all the things that are going on around Tennessee athletics. And then last but not least, you can go and check out the Periscope video feed. That is up right now as I click the go to live button. That is up right now on our Facebook and Twitter accounts. You just go search our page, Fox Sports Knoxville, for both, and go check out the show. Follow it, interact along, and have some fun with us. You guys ready for hour two? Got a big hour planned right here.
Yeah, real quick, I don't want to. I feel like I do a bad job of getting us on these random tangents, and that I just. But I got an ad that popped up on my computer.
Yeah, what do you see?
Non-contact infrared thermometer. It's like a gun. You just hold it up and point it at people, and it tells you their temperature. So I could be sitting right here, pointing at Chuck, and know if he has a fever. I feel like we should invest in one of these.
How much?
It's the new craze. No. I just got introduced to this about, I guess, like almost a week ago. My girlfriend were out. We were helping a friend get some groceries because they didn't want to take their small infant out with all this going on. So I was told that nobody even buys the other thermometers that you normally have in your house because they're not as effective and something about germs, but you get these.
Oh, yeah, you got to put it in your mouth.
Or in your ear.
Yeah, that too.
Or in your rectum.
With the coronavirus, everybody's switching to these infrared ones that you just point at your forehead. And that's what they did. And they took my temperature, make sure I was good. So, yeah, pretty neat little device.
What was that?
What was what?
Brandon just had a weird answer. I'm glad we talked about
it. No, this is not weird. This is what people do.
I know, but that's okay. Even if it's still a weird answer.
I couldn't tell who said what.
I said, what do you mean?
Brandon and I said both our answers right at the same time, so I think they drowned each other's out, but they were both bad.
I heard one.
Even though they were both real.
I heard an armpit.
Yeah,
I didn't hear the other one.
I said rectum.
Yeah.
I just rather guess.
I don't really know how many people are doing that to take their temperature.
I don't even own a thermometer, so.
Is that the way that you take your temperature?
No!
I mean, you brought it up.
I mean, you can. Yeah,
don't you check your temp twice daily?
Animals, for babies. I mean, you can.
Yeah, babies.
Yeah, but we're not babies.
I'm just saying that's what.
This is true.
It's out there.
Hey, look.
But I'm just saying, I'm thinking about investing in this.
What if we're at a situation in society?
Investing in a rectal thermometer?
Where no matter where we go.
No, the non-contact where I can just point it at you.
Yeah, yeah. No matter where we go, right? What if it's an airport? What if it's going inside Neyland Stadium where that's just part of the security checkpoint now? You got to get your temperature taken by one of these non-contact, thermometers. And that's just a part of society now. And in 10 years, we will be used to it. We won't even know what life was like not getting your temperature checked.
Yeah, well, I'll live 25 years without it.
Yeah, but I mean, only it takes 7 days to make a habit. You're not going to be thinking about that, is what I'm trying to say. It's a weird world.
I mean, it could be.
If you couldn't go to a game if you had a fever, that would just be.
Well, you shouldn't be going to a game if you have a fever anyway.
I would go to a game if, like, my leg was dangling off its bottom, my own body.
Well,
if
that's you have not a risk to others.
Yeah, if you
We're
have
saying a fever, that's a risk to others. That's just
well,
being
not,
a
like,
bad
not
person.
Not like right now anymore, now that there's like the whole coronavirus, but like, yeah, a year ago, if I was
and
sick,
see,
that's messed up. That's messed up, dude.
That's the like.
That's messed up.
It's hard to see on the other side of the virus. Like, it's hard to see what things will be changed.
Yeah.
After all this is over.
Yes.
So, Charles, throughout all of this, you said you don't have a thermometer. Have you not taken your temperature not one time?
I just, you know, you put your hand on the back of your hand on the top of your head or maybe on your stomach and go, oh,
it's not good enough. It's not good enough.
I don't even know where to get a thermometer. Like, Walgreens. CVS? I don't know.
Either
I'm
of
a
them.
Walmart. How many college students own thermometers?
How old are you, Charlie? You got to be able to be a functional 21-year-old adult.
Ask your adult. Ask your roommate downstairs.
Don't act like a 13-year-old.
I doubt there are many, many college students at all that own thermometers.
No, but they know where to get one.
I mean, like,
you're acting
like
you don't know where to get one.
I meant, like, right now and during these times, like, can you still even get a thermometer?
Are you saying, like, are they sold out?
Yeah, I feel like everyone's just bought all the thermometers by now.
That is a question that might take an experimental answer to solve it. You might just have to go to the store and check the aisle because, I'll be honest, I don't know that answer.
Or is it worth me potentially getting sick to buy a device that can tell me if I'm potentially sick?
Yeah, you need to get a thermometer, dude. You're an adult now. You need to start acting like one.
Just keep it in the little bathroom cupboard. You know what I mean?
The medicine cabinet?
Yeah, the medicine cabinet. That's right. Gentlemen, it's that time.
Does anyone actually keep medicine in the medicine cabinet?
I don't even have a medicine cabinet.
I keep medicine in my medicine cabinet.
Okay.
I guess I'm an adult.
I have a bottle of vitamins. Does that count?
Sure. Anyway,
sure.
Let's do the bracket.
All right. Are you guys ready? Everything has built to this. All the one seeds, the twos, the threes, all the way through the 16 seeds, they've all been building to this. One by one, the matchups have gone, and one by one, the matchups have left. And now we are at the end. It's taken many days, and we've seen many great players in Tennessee ancient lore have to leave the bracket.
Like Gene McEver.
Thanks, Brandon.
One of the most important that we had to unfortunately let go of. But it was for a good reason. It was to get to the championship, and we have our championship. It's all come down to this. Are you guys ready? One matchup to determine it all. The greatest Vol of all time, Blitz Edition. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. The championship matchup. The number one overall seed representing the Nashville region, number 16 in the books,
Manning.
But number one in your hearts,
Peyton Manning,
versus the number two seed out of the Chattanooga region. He is the Minister of Defense. He is Reggie White. That is your championship series.
Reginald Dwight. I'll start.
Okay. Yo, you think you already know an answer?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I will vote Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning.
Any kind of reasoning or any kind of justification?
He's Peyton Manning. Two-time Peyton Super Bowl champion. Super Bowl 41 MVP. 14-time Pro Bowler, 7-time first-team All-Pro, 5-time MVP.
That's a record.
2-time Offensive Player of the Year. Let's see. All the records as far as touchdowns, touchdown passes, passing yards, all that good stuff. Let's see. He was on the NFL 100th anniversary all-time team. I mean, it has all the record, or not all, but a lot of records as far as the University of Tennessee is concerned.
Now, here's the thing. I think with Peyton, obviously, the pro career greatly outshines the collegiate career, right? Obviously, Peyton never got that elusive championship that they were going after, never got the Heisman Trophy that he was going after, even though that was robbed. But I think that you can take enough of the legacy and the impact that Peyton made at Tennessee to boost that college, you know, just basically that college career. I mean, you don't go from having your picture on the side of the stadium, one of only six people to have their pictures there. You don't have the street that's right in front of the stadium named after you if you weren't that important to the university.
Well, he doesn't have the national championship, but he does have the 97 SEC championship.
Right.
And again, this is another one where we're comparing two guys from the same sport, different sides of the ball, but same sport. Reggie White didn't have, never won a championship in his time. Obviously, his pro career outweighed his collegiate career as well. Both guys very dominant in their respective college careers, both holding individual records for their respective positions at those universities for a long time. But I don't think it's – I mean, it is close, and both of these guys are great, all-time greats. And I'm going with Peyton Manning.
I mean, I wish this could have, you know, a more climatic or more dramatic ending, but I feel like we all kind of knew from the get-go when we first saw the bracket. I mean, obviously, Peyton Manning's the greatest of all, and I mean, he always will be, as far as I'm concerned. I feel like it'd be really, really hard for to ever have another player that just transcends, you know, just Tennessee like he does. That just is. I mean, you think of Tennessee, and the first thing you think of oftentimes is Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I think there's something to it that every single Tennessee fan, like I don't know who wouldn't, but has some kind of Peyton Manning memory, right? Even if that's just through memories of games that you know happened, even if you didn't see them. I wasn't alive for the 1995 Alabama game, but I've seen that game before. I know the big highlights from it. Because I know Peyton, and I just don't think that there's another player maybe on that level, right, that just everybody knows, everybody has memories of. Even greats like a Bernard King or a Candace Parker or someone like that from any of these sports, they all have legendary moments that everybody remembers, but I just don't think that anybody to Tennessee culture has the same name value to people as Peyton does.
So you guys all going with Peyton Manning?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. That's correct.
I think that's happening.
Well, it's tough because Peyton Manning is obviously winning the battle, but he also, you know, he is the GOAT, and he is what people think when they talk about Tennessee.
I talked about it earlier.
He is one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. It's when you get to the NFL, is it he or is it Brady? We're even talking about a quarantine golf match with
Peyton Manning
and also Brady pairing up with Phil and Tiger. So, like, he is one of those prolific guys. Like, he's even going to try to bring people entertainment during the madness of coronavirus. But I'm going to give Reginald Howard White a respect vote because he deserves one. RIP,
I like
legend.
That.
The Minister of Defense, but obviously we do know
Peyton Manning
is the greatest,
the quarterback
of all time.
That was, by the way, that was expertly executed, Chance. All of the sound drops, absolutely flawless. I like that you gave the respect vote for Reggie, because I would have been very sad if we would have had a championship round where nobody had given him a vote. But I think that you guys are right, and I think that people probably knew from day one that Peyton was going to be in the championship and that he was going to have the best chances to win. And I know that I'm very sheepy towards Peyton. That's no surprise at all. But I do think that the right person won. I do think that Peyton Manning, all things considered, is the greatest Vol of all time.
He's just lucky he didn't run into Gene McEver.
He's just lucky all Gene McEver was never in his path. But you don't even know what would have happened. Are you guys satisfied with the conclusion?
I think so.
That wraps it up. I mean, that was a big thing for us, that whole bracket tournament.
I think that had Bernard King been the opponent, it might have been a little tougher. I think I still would have went Peyton Manning, but I think it would have been a little tougher for me.
Sure, maybe this one was easier because of what you said, right? They were so easy to compare, right? You did have it. You said, okay, well, neither of them were able to bring a national championship to Tennessee right off the bat, but you know, still other kind of other kind of hardware and other kind of awards and accomplishments and things like that, certainly. So either way, Peyton Manning is your Blitz Edition greatest vol of them all. We finally did it. We got to our guy. How about that? Brandon, we got a couple stories left coming up in the day. And let me give you kind of a little bit of a tease about what they look like. So first, what is happening with the Astros suspensions? And at what is going to happen with the MLB and how the Astros suspensions play in? Remember that whole thing that happened a couple months ago with the Astros?
That was a couple months ago.
Feels like years, right? Got an update on that. And then an update on a couple of the major free agents that are still left on play in the NFL. One in particular that could have a lot of local ties to the Titans looks to be reportedly lowering his price. We'll dive into all those and more coming up next right here on the Blitz. Don't go anywhere. Do you guys remember the Astros cheating scandal? You might not. A lot of things have happened in the, I don't know, what, 60 days since that kind of came? It is...
It's only been... What is time anymore?
I know. That's a great question. What happened before the coronavirus pandemic? I don't know. I don't know. So anyways, so there's actually been a little bit of a interesting wrinkle developing in the A.J. Hinch, Jeff Lunau story. And so A.J. Hinch is the former Astros manager, and Lunau is the former Astros general manager, right? They were both suspended for 1 year for their parts in the team's sign-stealing scandal, right? So even if no baseball is played in 2020, then A.J. Hinch and Jeff Lunau will have fully served their suspensions.
That doesn't seem right.
I know. That's the weird thing. So, I mean, basically, these guys will be fully able to be reinstated back into baseball, even if the MLB season is canceled. Now, as things stand right now, it doesn't look like the season's going to get canceled whatsoever. And it looks like baseball certainly will do everything in their power to not make that happen. But isn't that an interesting wrinkle? Like, isn't that an interesting loophole? Obviously, nobody could have ever predicted or expected this whatsoever. I mean, I guess the coronavirus was kind of still going on, or was kind of at the beginning points, but nobody ever thought it was going to get to this level. But it's just really, it doesn't seem right. I'm totally with you there, that even if no baseball is played, they still say, hey, you know what? Your suspension, though, it's good, because we made this before we knew about the season changes.
Yeah, I don't know, it just doesn't seem right that even if they didn't play at all, that after 2020 is over, let's just hypothetically, we don't play 2020 at all. We just start next year, 2021. That their suspensions would just be over.
I know. Can you imagine a situation where the 2019 season ends, the cheating scandal comes out shortly after, and then the next baseball that is played is with a no-punishment Houston Astros team?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Besides, like, taking their banner down or something, maybe, publicly? I mean, nothing.
Nah, it doesn't do anything.
I know, and that doesn't do anything. It seems asinine that A.J. Hinch and this guy Lunau could just walk on right back into any organization.
If that's the case, can we fire Luis Rojas and retroactively hire Carlos Beltran?
Sure, maybe. I mean,
I think
why
we
not?
Should.
Why not?
Right? I'm starting the petition right now. I need all New York Mets fans that are listening.
All six of you.
Yes.
Tune in your ears. 12 ears.
And I'm going to have to spread my message across. might not be a good time
from Knoxville, Tennessee?
For New York. I mean, it's tough times.
Yeah.
This is what we need. We need to retroactively hire Carlos Beltran
back.
If this is the case.
Finally, Carlos Beltran has come back. To the New York Metropolitans.
All this is just ridiculous. It pisses me off. I mean, Those guys should be banned from baseball. They should. 1 year suspension already was just flat out ridiculous. They should absolutely be banned from baseball. It's worse than any scandal they've ever had. Any of the gambling that Pete Rose did. You know, the whole Black Sox scandal back in, 35? It's worse than anything, any of the steroids, anything like that. I mean, steroids, sure, you're a little stronger. You still got to be able to hit a baseball and, you know, detect what pitch is coming, everything else. If you know what pitch is coming, that's the biggest advantage, I think, that you could get in any sport. It's just flat-out ridiculous that everyone that's involved with that should be banned from baseball, and the players that participated should have gotten a one-year suspension. The MLB was soft when it came down on the Houston Astros, but...
So you don't think we should have rehired Carlos Beltran?
I mean, hey, the Nationals, we still beat the Astros even though they cheated, though. So it makes me feel a little bit better
Makes you think, wonder what the Nationals were doing.
Yeah.
How do you beat the cheaters? You cheat.
Hey, we use their cheating against them. We use dummy signs so they guessed the wrong pitches.
So here is what was told to ESPN reporter Buster Olney, that because the suspensions are tied to the end of the 2020 postseason rather than a specific number of games, MLB will now view Luhnow and Hinch as having served their discipline this year. So it was never a concept of, hey, you are suspended for 162 regular season games and then the postseason. That's never what it was. The exact quote from Rob Manfred was, "The punishments end, quote, following the completion of the 2020 World Series. If the 2020 World Series doesn't happen, well, then it's over. Like, that's it. That's the completion of it. Because you're moving right to the 2021.
Well, Rick, this kind of falls in line with what the MLB is doing in general with service time. Every player is getting their service time for this year. So guys that have 1 year left on their contract, like Mookie Betts, for example, even if this season does not happen, he's still completed that last year of his contract, and he'll become a free agent.
Oh my God.
Could have a trade like what the Dodgers did, just a giant blockbuster trade, and the Red Sox end up coming out way on top because they get the prospects and everything else.
That's a good point.
I haven't even thought about
one at bat.
And does that apply to the NBA?
Yeah, right. Because I know that none of us believe. Like, I know that none of us are really thinking like, man, you know what? There's a huge likelihood that these seasons are going to get canceled. I think we all want to at least be optimistically cautious that these seasons will happen. But what if they don't, right? The MLB is clearly saying right now, just because the season doesn't happen, that doesn't mean that the calendar year in baseball didn't go through. So if Hinch and Luhnow are going to get their suspension served, then what about these other contract situations? What about a Mookie Betts who has 1 year? What about a guy like Gerrit Cole who just signed this massive deal, one of the biggest deals in MLB history? Do you just gotta, you know, are you just gonna have to pay all your players what's on their contract and then take a year off of that? That is, all this stuff is coming to my head right now. That could be one of the biggest reasons why these professional sports organizations don't want to cancel their season, because of the contract disasters. And it's not just a couple contracts; it's a contract for every single player that's on any team in any sport. They're likely going to have to be trying to figure out, hey, are we counting this as part of the year on the contract or are we not? MLB is clearly – if MLB now comes out and says that, you know, hey, contracts are going to be different in the case of, then this would have to get changed. But I don't think that's the situation. I think
they negotiated with the players' union last week, and this was decided that service time was going to count and you know, a bunch of other stuff counting towards, like, arbitration and different, you know, clauses and stuff in contracts. This year the service time would count for all MLB players, and they will get paid their contract.
I can't even fathom a world where we are, you know, where all these organizations are now trying to deal with contracts. Look how confusing it's been for the NCAA just to give eligibility back to students who didn't get a chance at their season. Now let's talk about contracts where hundreds of millions of dollars are on the line. That's where things get really confusing. Never even thought about that until now.
And I mean, I don't think a guy like Anthony Davis is going to leave the Lakers. But he's a free agent, right? After this season.
Yeah, and I think LeBron is too. This would be the end of LeBron. Did he sign a 2-year deal or a 3-year deal?
I think it was a.
I think LeBron was. It was the first time in his career he signed like a 3 or 4 year deal because he normally kept doing the 1 year deals and then restructuring his contract at the end of the year, add more incentives, and then like you know creating the chance to be able to leave if he wanted to. But I think this time it was a 3 or 4 year deal. But Davis does become.
That might be interesting to see is who are all the NBA, you know, who are all the guys that would have become free agents this year or who would have become a free agent next year, right? If this season wasn't able to be finished for any kind of reason. Also, I heard another interesting thing going back a little bit to the gambling world. So if you put basically a long-term bet down, right? So I know that say you wanted to bet on the Hawks over under, right? And say they, you know, wherever they were right now, if the season doesn't get up and running again, you just lose that bet. Like if
they're just returned, they're nullified.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So like I have if I have like a bunch of different futures bets on like win totals in the NBA, MLB, NHL, everything else, and if they don't complete the season under the standards that were set, I guess, when you made the bet, then it's just nullified. You get the money back.
I know that's interesting because that makes a lot more sense to me. But I know that there are some sports books who are at least telling people who made these futures bets, you know, hey, you made the bet. Like, you bet on the season. Sorry. And so I don't know all the legal workings of the sports betting world, but another thing, like even no matter if that's, you know, figured out or not, or if it's an easy way to get it figured out, that's still a convoluted, confusing thing that people are trying to deal with this whole sports shutdown.
LeBron James' contract ends in 2022. Like I said, it was a 4-year deal for $153 million guaranteed, and then Anthony Davis's contract expires in 2021.
So AD would be AD is a free agent before LeBron.
Of course, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
He'll be a free agent next offseason.
Yeah, so your free agents next year, at least the big names, Anthony Davis, DeMar DeRozan, Gordon Hayward, Hassan Whiteside, Andre Drummond, Otto Porter Jr., Paul Millsap, Jeff Teague, Tim Hardaway.
So Jr. certainly big names on the table there. That is wild. Never even thought about that. But nonetheless, it looks like for the Astros, man, things could go back to normal for them so much quicker than anybody could have ever imagined. I don't know if AJ Hinch is going to go straight back to being the Astros manager, but man, I like the door is open. The door is open for a world where the Astros just basically reunite their team and all they lost was about $5 million. And a couple picks in the next 2 years of draft. Man, it is a weird, messed up thing. But we're just going to keep figuring it out as we go. We hope that this situation doesn't come close to coming to reality. And we hope these seasons can get played regardless. But who knows what will happen if they don't. Hey, got to catch a quick break right here. We'll come back on the other side with a little bit of NFL talk and a little bit of Jadeveon Clowney, the number one free agent still left on the board. Don't go anywhere. Listen to the Blitz.
Everything for fun. Worry about those comments. I'm way too numb, yeah. It's way too dumb, yeah. I get those goosebumps every time. I need the Heimlich. Throw that to the side, yo. I get those goosebumps every time.
11:35, back here on the Blitz. 865-546-8200 is our number if you want to get on. Last call for phone calls. Got about 20 minutes or so left in the show.
I have two big, well, kind of big, maybe a little interesting, NFL stories for you, Brian.
Okay.
First one for the table is there's a video that has come out of the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson, MVP, working out with Antonio Brown.
Interesting.
Actually.
Should they not be social distancing?
Hold on, that's not right. That's not right.
It's not right.
Big trust.
Oh, yeah, no, it is. Working out with Antonio Brown.
Well, is it right or is it not right?
It is.
Because you told me that it was right, And then you said it wasn't. Now you're saying it
so
is.
So here's the thing, is that...
get your story straight.
You know Hollywood Brown?
Confused.
Hmm?
Hollywood Brown.
Yes.
Marquise Brown. That was the Oklahoma guy. Yeah, who's now a receiver with the Ravens. They've been working out, so I got a little mixed up with the Browns. But the story is true, is that Lamar Jackson is working out with Antonio Brown. Do you think that there's any chance that the Baltimore Ravens could be in lines to potentially link up with Antonio Brown? And another just insane weapon for the reigning MVP.
I mean, maybe. I mean, do they think it's worth it? I mean, that's what it comes down to. Do they think that it's worth it? Do you think that do the Ravens think that Antonio Brown has changed and that he's not going to be a big problem? And if they don't, do they think that it's worth the risk if he is a problem? Is it worth all the hassle and the PR that comes with bringing him in? Is it worth it to do that?
Yeah, and that's tough. I mean, there's still we've kind of talked about it a little bit, how especially during this time right now, we've heard stories about Antonio Brown, you know, basically using this downtime, using this offseason to repair a little bit of his public image. But at the same time, he's still being investigated by the NFL under its personal conduct policy for the sexual assault lawsuit filed by his former trainer. He also still faces charges of felony burglary with battery, burglary of an unoccupied conveyance, and criminal mischief stemming from that January 21st incident with the moving truck driver. So there's still a lot of baggage that he's got to carry around to these organizations if he's going to visit. But who knows, right? Because whichever team does decide to go and say, you know what, it is worth the risk, well, then they're getting a hell of a wide receiver. But kind of like in New England, that also doesn't guarantee that it's going to last.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think because I mean, I think a lot of us thought after everything with the Steelers, he leaves the Steelers. It's a little bit of a nasty breakup. But what was I can't really remember. What was the general consensus of Antonio Brown before all of this started? I guess before he had actually played with the Raiders, before Hard Knocks.
I think he was just a weird dude who was the best receiver in the game.
Like, we all knew that he probably had a few screws loose, right? Like, that was a little clear.
Maybe, but, like, I always just remember him as, like, the weird dude, right? He would do the weird hair styles. And you remember that one time where he scored a touchdown and then just bear hugged the field goal? Those are the things where I was always like, man, this guy is just a strange guy. But he's a really great receiver. But I think now, in hindsight, I can much easier look and say, you know what, maybe a couple too many hits to the head, because things certainly have taken a turn for the worse lately.
There was a ton of turmoil with him and the rest of the Steelers, you know, that last season there, especially with the relationship between him and Ben Roethlisberger and him and Juju Smith-Schuster.
He didn't show up for that Week 17
game,
right?
Yeah, he left practice at one point. Yeah. He didn't show up. I mean, he was really upset that Juju Smith-Schuster started to take on a bigger role and gain more popularity. He got upset with Ben Roethlisberger. And then it kind of came out that, hey, Mike Tomlin and that coaching staff have just done a really good job of keeping things together and keeping things looking a lot better from the outside for several years before that, even, because Antonio Brown apparently, you know, had kind of had some problems all throughout the way, you know, the last 2, 3, 4 years in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. No doubt about it. A little bit more NFL news. The Denver Broncos have found their new running back in former L.A. Charger Melvin Gordon. A lot of conversation last year about could Melvin Gordon potentially be traded? Could he be heading somewhere else? Is there any chance that he's going to stay in Los Angeles? It looks like no, as Denver goes and signs the 26-year-old running back, who was once believed to be one of the most electric running backs in the game just like, what, 2 years ago? Yep. I mean, had some of the highest upside of any running back in the whole league.
Yeah, and going to a division rival.
Yeah.
And I think he can have some pretty good success there, but look, I think it just depends on the quarterback.
Yeah, maybe.
As far as how they go.
We'll see how far Drew Locke and Melvin Gordon can go together.
That signing makes zero sense to me. I mean, why would you pay that kind of money for a running back like Melvin Gordon
when you
already have Phillip Lindsay and then you had Royce Freeman too, guys that you can get similar, if not better, production out of, and Phillip Lindsay's still on that undrafted free agent contract.
I think maybe they're just thinking, hey, we're not spending any money at running back already, and we already have a good one. Maybe we can just spend a little bit, or you know, spend this good money, but then we still have it, you know, coming out to where we still got a couple good running backs on the roster. It is confusing, though.
The Broncos have a chance to be really good, Rick.
The tough thing is that they got that Kansas City region, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but they played really, really well once Drew Lock took over the second half of the year. I mean, they'll have Von Miller, Chubb, Andrell, Casey getting after the passer there. Their offense looks very suitable. I mean, they have great running backs, a clear wide receiver one, and if Drew Lock can play well, they have the tight ends too, decent offensive line.
Who is their wide receivers?
Because
they lost Sanders, who's now a Panther, I believe. I think he's a Panther. He's not a Niner anymore.
He's a Saint now.
Saint. That's right.
But, they had Courtland Sutton, who I believe passed the 1,000-yard threshold last year. If not, he was really close.
He was on my fantasy team, and I remember him as a good flex option.
Well, he had 1,112 yards last year, one of the best. Ended up being statistically one of the better receivers in football last year, and he's projected to take even another jump. I mean, he's clearly at this point a wide receiver one with that you can rely on. That's one of the better, you know, wide receivers out there.
And the final story from the NFL today is one of the top free agents left, defensive end Jadeveon Clowney, has dropped at least $2 million or more off the more than $20 million per season asking price that he had been seeking. So now it's reported that he's seeking a number closer to $17 to $18 million per year. It says that the Seahawks and the Titans remain, quote, interested in signing the three-time Pro Bowl selection. But clearly it seems like Jadeveon Clowney was one of those guys who, you know, you see a couple of them every year. They try to bet on themselves a little bit and just kind of, you know, don't get signed right there off the bat. They might have to adjust their price a little bit as they go. Seems like that's what Clowney's having to do.
So who's in the mix? I know the Titans.
The Seahawks and the Titans. They're at least the ones Titans that remain interested. It says here that the Seahawks, meanwhile, think that Clowney is not ready to make a decision and are continuing to conduct business. And I'm trying to see. Here's what John Robinson said, who is the general manager of your Titans. He said, there's a lot of business that has to be done through the course of the league year. We're working through a few guys at the end of free agency. I would say we are still working through it and are looking at guys that are still available. I don't know that we are done, but I don't know that there will be a flurry of moves here. We have touched base with Clowney's representation, and we're kind of seeing and navigate where that one might be. So I think that's fair. The Seahawks and the Titans are the last ones that are interested. But it seems like for both those teams, Clowney has to more come to their asking price than them reaching his.
Seems that way. Go Seahawks.
It would be really a fantastic move for the Titans. He could be like the Kyle VandenBosch to Albert Haynesworth with Jeffrey Simmons. Because Jeffrey Simmons has that kind of big sack potential from the interior.
That seems like a stretch.
I'm just saying he can be utilized in a similar way that Kyle VandenBosch was for Albert Haynesworth. I'm not saying that Jeffrey Simmons is going to be Albert Haynesworth, but I think Jeffrey Simmons can certainly be a double-digit sack guy from the interior.
A 1-2 punch?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could really just have what was once a pretty mediocre pass rush take a big jump to a pretty solid pass rush with Clowney, Beasley, Harold Landry, and a healthier Jeffrey Simmons, plus Rashawn Evans.
Honor Landry.
Can blitz from the middle linebacker spot pretty well. And you still have Roberson, who came on at the end of the year. And you just re-signed Kelmea Carrera, who played really well the second half of the season.
What'd you say about Melky Cabrera? We're talking football here, Chuck. I don't know what Melky Cabrera has to do with anything.
And then last but not least, do you remember Aldon Smith?
From like 10 years ago?
From 2015. Cowboys just signed him to a one-year deal. Huh. Last time he played in the NFL was 2015. Hasn't played for substance abuse reasons. Cowboys just got him on 1 year deal. No big deal. Don't really. Yeah. It's a mess.
Mike McCarthy.
Hey, that's a little bit of NFL news roundup. We got one more segment left in the show. You don't know what's going to happen. I know. I think I know what's going to happen. We'll find out together. Coming up next, right after this. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound just like no bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal. Some never mind them brakes. And here we go. Final segment of the Blitz here today on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Talk Sports, they're right outside this door right here to my right. They're getting ready for their show coming up here. Cody Mack, John Reed, Cam Black. They'll be in here from 3 to 6. And then from, excuse me, they'll be here from 12 to 3. From 3 to 6, you got the drive. And then, of course, overtime takes you home from 6 to 8 tonight. How about that? How about a little bit of If You Haven't Heard to close out the show?
Are you sure Overtime's doing shows? I don't think they're doing shows.
Really?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think they're doing shows right now. They didn't do one yesterday.
Yeah, no, they didn't yesterday. I tried listening on my way home.
Oh. Maybe I could have sworn I saw their show come up in my podcast feed. Which, hey, if you subscribe to the podcast, you know, on the Apple Podcast or the whatever it is, You too yourself can see all the shows whenever they come up just on your podcast feed. It's a great thing. But, okay, so you're right on that front. But would anybody like to start us off with a little bit of If You Haven't Heard today?
I got one, Rick.
Okay.
If you haven't heard, the president of Turkmenistan has banned the word coronavirus.
Huh. Banned it?
Just outright banned it. While also arresting people wearing face masks or talking about the pandemic in public.
Oh my God! So they're just trying to completely remove it.
The country's state-controlled media are not allowed to say or publish the word, and information about the virus has been removed from government health brochures distributed in workplaces, hospitals, and schools.
Wow, that is intense. I like it when people call it the word coronavirus better than COVID-19. COVID-19 sounds too scientific, so yeah. I don't like that they're banning the word coronavirus. I think they should ban COVID-19.
I think that's probably also included in the ban. No, could be. I would assume.
Yeah, I don't. When people say COVID-19, it's,
yeah, I don't like that as much. I mean, not that I like it, regardless. But you know, I can have an opinion on the words. That's perfectly. That's not insensitive.
Jazz pianist legend Ellis Marsalis died this morning at the age of 85 from coronavirus-related complications. Legendary jazz pianist.
It also got the Stacey's Mom guy from Fountain of Wayne, whoever wrote that song.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. As Russell would say, good night, sweet princes. How about this? If you haven't heard, I've been waiting a long time for this. Rick and Morty, the second half of season 4, will air on May the 3rd. The trailer came out yesterday, but we had to wait the full 24 hours to make sure it wasn't an April Fool's joke. It is not. One of the best, probably the best animated show on TV, comes back for 5 more episodes, May 3rd. I cannot tell you how excited I am for this. Can't possibly explain it.
Thank God.
If you guys missed it, more than 1 million N95 masks were stuck in China. Those are protective masks that a lot of the doctors and healthcare officials need right now, nurses, etc. Until a plane that brought them to the U.S. was New England Patriots private plane, Robert Kraft. Shout out to him.
Uh-oh. The Patriots trying to make a play at America's team over there. Getting the face masks for America. Jerry Jones, what are you doing? Keep the title. Good for the Patriots. That's fantastic.
This is
really awesome.
This is what they were doing. Early Wednesday morning, just outside of Dallas, an 18-wheeler carrying thousands of rolls of toilet paper crashed and went up in flames.
No!
Yes.
What a combustible 18-wheeler.
Yes.
Combustible big rig.
Driving thousands of rolls of toilet paper, the hot commodity item. Everybody's trying to get toilet paper nowadays. When it crashed, caught flames. Luckily, the driver and his dog, Moochie, are doing fine.
Oh, okay. That's good. Oh, man, though, you can't. Yeah, it seems like a bad situation. Very flammable.
I mean, how else do you ship it?
I don't know. Yeah, you got it. You got it. That's unfortunate, though. That's a lot of toilet paper just up in smoke.
Thousands of rolls.
I know. I know. All right. Anything else? We got about time for one more in case anybody found a good one.
No. No.
How about this? How about this? I'll say it. If you haven't heard, we are only 48 hours away from the greatest spectacle of them all, WrestleMania.
WrestleMania?
Because I'm not that excited for it.
WrestleMania?
WrestleMania. Yeah.
WrestleMania.
WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's a bummer, man. It's a bummer. I'll tell you what. Like, I know a lot of people's favorite sports have been canceled. My favorite sport, wrestling, has not been canceled, and it stinks. All right, so all the people wishing...
Would you rather it just be canceled?
Yes. Yes.
What?
Yes.
No, I'd rather have anything
no,
right
you don't,
now than
you
cancel
you don't know
it.
How bad the product is right now. Like, it's so rough. I'd so much rather than just cancel it. Postpone it. Move it. Whatever. Hey, that's it for us today. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow for our lovely Friday edition show. For Chance Collins, for Charlie Collier, for Brandon Orrick, I'm Rick Butler. Thank you for listening to us today. Hope you enjoyed it. Talk Sports coming up next. You've been listening to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio.